Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 2, if you're listening live, but it's actually episode 53. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay. Okay, that was fun.
Yep.
Was this actually 52?
I think, is it 52 or 53?
I think this is 52.
It's like Star Wars. Everyone's like, the first one's episode 4, and yet it's Star Wars, so it's the first movie, but it's really episode 4. And then episode 8 is like episode 4 or something.
Okay. All right, well, wow. That just hurt my brain unnecessarily. And for those of you who are listening, who are on the live show, yeah, this is a little different because we screwed up. Anyway, let's talk about what we watched this week. This week I saw Papillon with Papillon with Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, and holy crap, he could beat the ever loving tar out of Chuck Norris at any day. He's such a bad man in this movie.
Yes,
like it is really cool. It's truly a tale of survival. I like to think of it as The Great Escape meets The Shawshank Redemption.
That's a very good comparison. Yeah.
And that entails every bit of awesome that you can think of that could possibly mean. And then I saw CJ7 with Stephen Chow. Excellent movie for kids, except that most kids don't like reading subtitles. So this movie was kind of doomed from the start theatrically. The hardcore Stephen Chow fans, you're going to have a good time. It is a fun movie. It is a cute kiddie movie, but definitely has that Stephen Chow sense of humor behind it. Well worth checking out. Hmm. And I think that was about it.
Do you think it would have been better if they dubbed it?
How can you ask that question?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Would it have been more acceptable to American audiences? Probably yes. But just like they did with a lot of the, the Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away. Who did those?
Miyazaki,
that's right. They dubbed a lot of the Miyazaki films for theatrical release here, and they did pretty well. Yeah. So I think it would have done better.
Okay. I was just curious because I know
Didn't dub it. I'm not sure if they did or not theatrically.
I don't think they did because I know, you know, with Roberto Benigni's Pinocchio, they dubbed it with famous voices, and it was atrocious.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Barry, what did you watch this week?
I've been on a Scorsese kick because I'm teaching a Scorsese class next year. So I've been watching a bunch of his films. I recently saw The King of Comedy with Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis. Despite the title and despite the cast, it's really one of the more disturbing films I've seen. I saw it years ago with my father, years and years ago when it was a new movie. I remember just watching it with him, and he was laughing so much, so I just instinctively thought it was funny. Now seeing it, I think it's so disturbing. And
you're like, what was my dad thinking?
Well, like, I think he really responded to the black comedy, but it really is a very dark comedy. But it just, for me, it cuts so close to the bone, and it was very prophetic as to just the fine line between being a stalker and being a ridiculously obsessed fanboy. So made me very uncomfortable. And also, I saw the remake recently of Cape Fear again for the first time in many years. A fantastic film for about 90 minutes. Fantastic. The performances, the way it was shot, everything. Just Scorsese at his absolute peak and with a budget to match. But the ending is so embarrassingly bad. It's so silly and cornball and over the top. And it really just kind of negates everything. Like all of a sudden the movie turns into like a Chucky sequel in the last half hour. And it's really a shame. Because otherwise I'd say it's a fantastic movie.
Very cool. Josh.
Watched Pumpkinhead, which is freaking awesome.
Awesome movie.
You really have to catch that, Dave.
Okay.
The animatronics are fantastic. The story is really creepy. And Stan Winston directed it.
And Lance Henriksen is great in the lead role.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very cool.
Freaking awesome. And watched Hellraiser 2. Really not a fan. Hellraiser is still my favorite horror movie, but the sequel just was really overly gross. And
you mean Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And I watched 2001 in Barry's class, which I still like, but the class had a real problem with.
Yeah, they truly hated the film. Yeah.
So, what do you think it was about it? Just like the length of it, or did they really say?
It seemed like just how ambiguous it is. The fact that nothing is really, you know, it's really open to your interpretation. I think that drove them nuts. And not all of them. I mean, there are a few others like yourself who liked it, but I think for the most part that drove them crazy. The fact that it is a very slow film. It's a very, I say, leisurely paced, but slow. It's a slow film. I think that meticulousness about it drove them a little crazy. Like our friend Marshall was saying, just like the fact that Kubrick, you know, is so pretentious. I think it just drove him up the wall. But I think it's still a classic film. I'm glad you liked it.
I did. I think the visuals are amazing. The story is really weird, but I think I love the stuff with Hal so much that it really kind of makes the rest of the film okay for me.
Yeah.
But I think that middle part is like fantastic. It's scary and just weird. And so
Very cool. And, you know, I totally forgot to say, I also watched The Chosen One, Chris Lackey's film. This is a direct-to-DVD release. You can pick it up on Amazon or pretty much just about anywhere now. And it's a Flash animated film that he made in his apartment in Santa Monica and got Lance Hendrickson in it, got Tim Curry, got Laura Pepperon, Chris Sarandon, Tracy Lords. It's a really fun movie. What movie did I just see about? Oh, I watched The Nines, too. And honestly, I think The Chosen One takes the same concept, which if you've seen one or the other, you know what the other one's about now, and does a lot more with it. Makes it a lot better.
What's The Nines?
That's Ryan Reynolds. What'd you think of that, Dave?
I admire what it tried to do.
Yeah.
I really do. It wasn't successful by a long shot, I don't think. It was trying to be far more heady than it could really... I guess the best way to put it is most of the movies that come out that are trying to be the super abstract metaphysical type movie, they end up not really knowing how to make everything tie together well.
Yeah.
And that was the problem I had with this movie. The acting was great in it, I thought. I love what they tried to do. I could see where they're trying to go. Just didn't quite get there.
Okay.
Did you see it?
I did. I liked it more than you did, but it's totally full of itself. And I agree, the ending is ridiculous, what they're trying to do to... There's no way to wrap that story up. And by trying to, I thought it came across as really forced and silly. But I think it is solid proof that Ryan Reynolds can really act and that he's not just this goofball from Blade Trinity.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you know, it's really a writer's movie. You know, John August, who wrote the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory remake screenplay, he wrote and directed it. And it's clearly a writer's movie. I mean, he is in charge of this film. It's really just one of these things like whatever the writer was, you know, whatever his impulse was, it's there in the movie. And I love that about it, but at the same time, no, you're totally right. It really doesn't all come together, but I still liked it.
Absolutely. Well, shall we talk about what hit theaters this week?
Yes. Mark Wahlberg is in a career slump as Max Payne. Queen Latifah and Dakota Fanning and Alicia Keys, they know The Secret Life of Bees. Not really opening, kind of stalling at its test drive, is Sex Drive starring James Marsden. And finally, Josh Brolin is, he is the role to me. Josh Brolin is W and Oliver Stone's W.
Very cool. And none of us saw Sex Drive.
No. I saw
Josh
the first
took
10,
the bullet.
I was just going to say, I saw the first 10 minutes of it and it didn't really look like anything special. So
you'll rent it online.
Yes, I will. Because I mean, I would chuckle a little bit, but I'm like, really, I don't really want to see it in theaters that bad. Especially the god awful time I had watching Max Payne. So
yeah. Let's shall we talk about that too? The fact that you had to call me the second you got out of the theater. Be like, dude,
it was that bad. It was that bad. I felt a little guilty for taking my brother to go see W because he sat there blank faced the whole film. I was like, no, I'll take you to Max Payne. You know,
was he like, all right,
grotesque violence, whatever. So we go to Max Payne and halfway through the movie, no, that like 30 minutes in the movie, he leans over to me and goes, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Why are we staying? And I was like, I don't, you know, I really don't know why we're staying. And it was awful.
There's the infamous
pure
scene.
Awful. You talking about the nose, the nostril shot? There's a shot of Mark Wahlberg's nostrils that take up the whole screen. And that for me was like, what are they doing? What are they doing? The film is really, really violent. It shouldn't be rated PG-13. It's about drugs and sex and getting high and killing people. The film is not grounded in any substance to care about the characters or even care what's going on, which the plot is not like confusing, but because there is no ground, you really don't know what's going on. And they don't explain the Valkyries until like the ending of it when it's just, it's so bad. So bad.
How is Mila? Mila Kunis.
Mila looks really hot, but she doesn't do crap.
So this is... We've kind of come up with this unofficial thing where if it's a good movie, it's a Mark Wahlberg movie. It's a bad one, it's a Marky Mark movie.
It's a Marky Mark movie. Okay. So, man. You know, I honestly, like... You guys were telling me how bad The Happening was, but I'd gotten some enjoyment out of it. This was worse than that.
Wow.
There's nothing to enjoy about this movie.
Good trailer. Another movie. Good trailer. Apparently terrible movie.
But the visuals... what you saw in the trailer is what's in the film. It's like nothing extended or anything. It's like that's what was in the movie.
But it's all like the last 10 minutes of the movie, though.
Yeah, it's the last... Cool, it's there's no, literally like no action until the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Wow.
And Chris O'Donnell shows up looking like he doesn't know where he's been since Batman and Robin. And it's like the worst... That's the worst performance in the movie. And
he's been prepping for this role for 12 years. Come on.
So... I mean, it's just, it's so bad. There's this scene where Max Payne has a shootout with an entire SWAT team, and Ludacris, who played, yeah, Ludacris, and he gets shot too, but he's okay. And Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, sorry, goes through the door, and Ludacris, who plays a FBI cop, is on the other side, and Mark shuts the door and locks it, and the SWAT team's trying to get through, and Ludacris is like, "Hey, man, just come down to the station, and we can talk this through." Suddenly, the SWAT team burst open the door, and Marky Mark's just gone, and Ludacris is like, "Damn, we lost him!" I'm like, he was standing right there! Just stupid stuff like that. It's so bad, so bad. So
fair
bad.
Enough. Okay.
Does he ever say hi to your mother for me?
He does not, but I was thinking that in my head over and over and over and over again. And it's too bad, too, because I saw him on Ellen this week. I saw him on SNL last night. He seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Make better movies.
I have no doubt that Mark Wahlberg can still be a good action star. It just hasn't quite found the right vehicle yet,
yes.
I think.
Yeah,
because his demeanor and everything, he's fine, but the movie just sucks so much that...
Yeah, I mean, he's got the acting chops. He's definitely got the physical build, so he can pull any of this stuff off. It's just, I want to see him succeed as an action hero.
I'd like to see Darren Aronofsky's the boxer get made with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, which apparently has gone off the rails because Brad Pitt walked out or something again.
Again.
Darren Aronofsky just say no to Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is like a stigma for his movies.
I guess. So.
That should be on a t-shirt. Yeah. Just say no to Brad Pitt.
All right, and then both of you saw W.
Yes.
I did not, so I'll let you gentlemen kind of duke it out. Well, not duke it out, but
I liked
discuss.
I liked it more than Josh did, but Josh is totally right. I mean, it's a very flawed film. The performances that were great. I thought Josh Brolin really does convey this character, or at least Oliver Stone's version of George W. Bush. I thought all the acting was great, especially Tandy Newton. I completely forgot I was watching an actress. I really believe she was Condoleezza Rice. Great first hour, or rather first half of the movie, showing Bush's rise, fall, and then rise to the top. Basically goes over everything you know about him, the fact that he was and living in his father's shadow, that he had a substance abuse problem, that he had a number of odd jobs before really knowing what he wanted to do with his life, and how Christianity changed his life. All that I thought was great, and was fast, and it was just really thrilling. And then the movie just kind of starts to slow crawl to a drag, and then it kind of lost its focus and its direction. It left out all these important anecdotes like 9/11. Like, why aren't we seeing that? Why aren't we seeing Bush actually become president, let alone getting sworn in? Why aren't we seeing the so-called lost 2000 election? I mean, we should see that. I know. I figured Oliver Stone would be all over that. So it feels incomplete. And I recommend the movie, and I like the film because I thought the performances were so strong by everyone. But it's near great.
I think we feel exactly the same way, but I just can't go as far to say it's even near great because of just all the problems that it had. But I think it's interesting because it really is fair. Because if it was anybody else, the story is really like a rags to riches kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But because it's him, your political views or whatever is going to interpret whether that's a good or a bad thing. And so I think that's handled very, very well. I think the acting is fantastic. But the film really just becomes, to me, just felt like a propaganda piece that we've heard so much from over this election and everything, that it just wasn't what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was really looking forward to it because I thought, the elections are going on right now, and it'd be kind of an escape to kind of laugh at everything, what's going on, instead of just turning into the message that it does.
Sure.
If you want to do that, I'd say watch Wag the Dog.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, especially if you realize that movie came out right before the whole Monica Lewinsky thing broke.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, kind of coincidental there. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to get an entirely different view, Ethan has put up his review over at ScreenGeeks.com. It's a completely different review, but it was surprising to me a little bit that he came away with that perception, and it was very well written, and
yes.
it's a really good review, so yes. Definitely check it out.
Did you have a problem with the cinematography of the movie, all the handheld stuff?
Not as much as you did. I think it got kind of annoying towards the middle of the movie when there was just all these static shots of them sitting around in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
I liked all the stuff like him on the oil rig and, or the first person shot of him like driving the car that skids, I didn't have a problem with that for a while. But after a while, I thought the film just got kind of dull and talky. Like, I'm like, this is all of a sudden turning into Lions for Lambs, and not in a good way.
And my poor brother, I gotta mention this, my poor brother,
poor Cody.
Like, after Max Payne, we're kind of talking with my parents. I'm like, W is this and that. And Cody goes, wait, so Bush has been president for 20 years? And I said, what are you talking? And I said, no. He goes, well, back in like 1986, it said that he won president. And I'm like, no, that was his dad. So my poor brother sat there like the whole movie not even knowing like what anything was.
Poor guy.
So I don't know.
No, you're right. They don't make it clear when he becomes governor, when he's president, when his dad's governor, when his dad's president. They really don't. It's one thing to do what they do, which is to start at the middle, then go back to the beginning, then go back and forth. But they don't really mark it that well with the dates.
It's really like the Saw films. Like it's where the Saw films do the exact same thing. I forgot to mention this last time, but there were protesters at my screening.
Wow!
So I thought that was. I told Cody, I'm like, this is a good educational experience. If anyone asks you, I feel bad. I was like, if anyone asks you, we're going to go see City of Ember. Don't tell them I'm taking you to go see W.
You don't want to get like fleeced by the mob.
Yeah.
Very cool. And, you know, before we get into the DVD releases, I need to give a quick shout out to Vic over at ScreenRant.com. He's been putting out some really great stories and stuff this week. I've just been checking him all the time. So we'll be talking about him a little bit more in a minute, specifically about the whole Terrence Howard,
Iron Man 2 thing.
Yes, that whole thing. So, yeah. But anyway, let's talk about what's hitting DVD this week.
Well, this week. Oops. That's okay. Edward Norton is the Incredible Hulk in 1 and 3 disc special edition.
It's 2 disc plus. Coaster.
One disc too many. Expelled. No intelligence necessary. That's actually
allowed.
No intelligence allowed.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. No intelligence. That's what I write on my students' papers after I grade them. I'm just kidding. Looney Tunes. Golden Collection, Volume 6. Good stuff. Josh's favorite horror movie of the year thus far. Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Oh, no, it's not.
Strangers. No, it's not?
Midnight Meat Train, man.
Midnight Meat Train. Sorry.
Is that becoming your fountain for the year?
Yeah, it is. And okay. I'm even watching it, just disappointing, but I'm like I got to stick by it.
I forget. You're like a crusader for Midnight Meat.
Yes, I am.
You're just a fan of The Strangers. All right. Sold Out, A Thrievening with Kevin Smith. Good stuff. Casino Royale, the lousy Casino Royale with Woody Allen as James Bond in the 40th anniversary edition. Casino Royale, the good one with Daniel Craig. That's the 3-disc collector's edition.
And I forget where that's going to be, but someone's going to have it for like $15 the day it comes out.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Is it going to have a Quantum of Solace ticket, you think?
I believe it is. That's cool. Why I'm here. I think it's at Best Buy.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That's so worth it. And then finally, the crap title of the week, Trailer Park of Terror, an anthology film set in a trailer park.
I just read this, and I was like, Trailer Park of Terror? And I was thinking, like, cool. So, is it like a bunch of, like, really awful trailers? Like, movie
Wouldn't
trailers?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, no. This isn't like a movie based off of Chris Stipp's column over at Quick Stop.
No, this is like the green thing in the basement of that trailer. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I have to point out, you know how Iron Man did the really how Target did the really cool packaging for Iron Man with the disc?
No.
They're doing the same thing. Sorry.
No.
They're doing the same thing with the Hulk, where it's like when you look at the case, it's like a brick wall and the Hulk's got his fingers through and you can see his eyes, but the case actually pulls apart.
Cool.
So,
really cool. That's
yeah, and cool. It's 3D. It looks really freaking awesome. So I'm going to have to get that.
Nice.
And Golden Collection. I have to. It's okay.
Send your money to make Josh richer. No. Eli Roth was going to make
He's going to make Trailer Park.
Yeah, is he still doing that?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Well, I don't know. It
well, that's doing Cell, too, but then...
I heard that went under.
Then, but Hostel 2 flopped, so they took him off of Cell. Poor guy.
Yeah.
So just watch The Signal.
Oh.
That's what I've heard. Isn't that like the same thing?
Apparently. Actually have it somewhere, and I haven't watched it yet.
Mm. Oh, you do have that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me know.
It's quite good.
All right. Is that it for DVDs?
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about some news, because there's plenty to talk about. Should we start off with the Terrence Howard, Don Cheadle rumor?
Yes.
Right now, I'm officially treating this as a rumor. Word came out early last week that Terrence Howard was off of the Iron Man 2 movie and that Don Cheadle was taking over. At first, I was very bummed about this. Then yesterday, word hit that Terrence Howard heard about this through the media. If something this serious had happened, you'd think he would probably know before anyone else, which leads me to believe that this is possibly either someone's completely full of it, or Marvel's possibly floating the rumor to see what the fan reaction is going to be like when they're talking about Favreau not coming back for Iron Man 2 as well. I hope that's not how it is, because this is really setting a bad precedent for the studio.
Yes.
But I don't see any reason why Terrence Howard isn't coming back, honestly.
Yeah, really. And especially to be replaced by Don Cheadle. Cheadle's a fantastic actor. And I love Don Cheadle, but Howard originated the role. Everybody wants to see him do it. And at this point, Howard's actually a bigger box office draw.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah. Is that all do you have any news this week at all?
I just got all my Saw stuff.
Oh, okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to wait for next week?
No, I'll talk about it now, because there's a bunch of stuff going on.
Get the word out.
Okay. Barry, have you got anything?
I do. Levi Stubbs passed away. He was the lead singer of the Four Tops, one of my favorite bands of all time. Among his many hits were Baby, I Need Your Lovin', I Can't Help Myself, Reach Out, I'll Be There, Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got. And then, honestly, what I've always loved him and known him as is the voice of Audrey, too, in the musical Little Shop of Horrors. So certainly our thoughts and prayers go to Levi Stubbs' family and friends. He was the man.
Indeed.
Actually, I do have a little bit of news other than my stuff. The first four minutes of Bolt are on Slash Film, and they're awesome.
Okay.
So and Peter wrote like something about it's cooler in 3D, but honestly, I was like, this is freaking awesome. Okay. It's like it's four-minute action.
Might it actually change my mind?
No, I think it really would. It's really cool.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Great.
I'll make a point for checking that out. Josh, go ahead and do your Saw. Goodness. Okay.
There's a lot of stuff going on with Saw this month. It started on September 26th, but there's an actual Saw haunted attraction going on.
And all this is coming up in a story this week.
In Brea, California, and there's videos of it on YouTube. You basically walk through. It looks like they just rebuilt some of the sets from the films, and you walk through. It's a haunted house and stuff. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cheap. It's like $13. That's in Brea, California, and it goes until November 2nd.
Do you have the ride in your notes?
Yes, I do. Okay. That's a new thing I'm going to add.
Okay.
Also going on right now is the Saw Blood Drive. I guess they've donated up to. It's like a ridiculous amount of blood for this thing. But that's cool that they, you know, actually making something helpful out of it. Mm-hmm. The Saw Marathon is this Thursday, and I will be there. If you guys are in Colorado, definitely come check us out. I'll be at the Cinemark. I think nationwide it starts at 4:20, and then they go until midnight. And then
really, they're starting at 4:20?
Yeah, they are. Toke up. So 4:20. No, don't do that. starts at 4:20. You watch Saw 1, 2, 3, 4, and then midnight is when Saw 5 starts. So, and I don't
know. That's a lot of blood.
That's almost 12 hours of Saw.
I'm actually a little nervous. Saw Mania is going on. What's the date for that? Saw Mania is on November 14th through 16th, and that's in New York. They are going to have Tobin Bell there. Yeah, it's the Saw convention. They have Tobin Bell, Shawnee Smith, Betsy Russell, Costas Mandalore, and many, many more. It's pretty cheap. You can, and I think everyone is guaranteed to meet Jigsaw and have an autograph from him.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and then the last thing, or two things, there's a Saw video game coming out next year.
Really?
You can try it. They haven't really released anything, but if you go to whoisjigsaw.com, it's like an advertisement for the game. I don't know what that, I mean, is it going to be like, you know, Condemned? Like, what's it going
to... That's what I'm thinking. Like, they already made Condemned, so what do they need to...
Okay. I don't know. And then the last thing that just came out this week is there's actually a Saw roller coaster opening up in Thorpe Park in England that's coming out in the spring, and it's going to be the world's largest free fall drop, and it's 100 degrees at 100 feet.
Wow.
So
is there anything to catch you when you drop, or you just drop and die, and that's the ride?
You probably didn't know. I don't know. It looks awesome. If you go to sawtheride.com, they've got some conception and art and stuff and pictures of them building it. It looks like the poster shows the track going down and like a big buzzsaw in the middle that looks like the coaster's going to hit.
Oh, nice.
And they've got some really, really cool viral marketing on the site where it's like the construction workers are there and Jigsaw's like setting up his shop and like he's the one doing it and stuff. So it's actually really, really cool.
So it sounds almost like this is going to be like the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it wasn't in England, I would definitely... make a trip to go, but
I have to ask you a quick question about the Saw Marathon, and Ethan brought it up as well. How long is an intermission going to be there? Going to be?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing probably 10-20 minutes at least.
They need to. I mean, people have to get up in between the movies because that's going to be like 12 hours. I don't know. I don't know. And like you know, the Lord of the Rings thing, they had that a couple years ago, and they actually had shirts and stuff. They didn't have shirts, but they had a
film cell.
Film cell, yeah, from one of the reels. So okay. Cool. I don't know if there's going to be anything like that, but...
I love the concept of the Saw ride. It's like, as if roller coasters weren't terrifying enough. Now there's like huge buzzes, like these big blades above your head. Great.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Count me in.
All right, shall we move on to the Star Trek picks?
Yes.
Let me start off by saying... Do, you see that? Okay.
Yay.
So first off, I'd like to say that Sulu's Japanese and not Korean. I'm just saying.
Not the first time Hollywood's done that. In fact, you're probably one of the few people who've noticed because this is something that Hollywood does all the time with Memoirs of a Geisha. They're like, yeah, Japanese, Chinese, Korean. They're not going to know. So stupid and so racist and disrespectful. No, it's true. I hate it when they do that.
Zachary Quinto looks pretty good as Spock, although in the one picture he does look very Siler-esque.
Yeah,
he does. been the pretty much consensus thought about that one picture.
Oh well, BFD. I mean, I don't watch Heroes, so to me, it looks like Spock to me.
So as someone who doesn't watch Heroes or any, that stuff, what do you think of the pictures? I'm curious.
Very happy. I think it looks fantastic. I love the scope of it. I love the newness of the feel. For me, Chris Pine looks like he has the arrogance and petulance of Kirk, and if not the glamorous, you know, alien chicks want to bang him look of Kirk. So yeah, I think
only alien chicks.
Or well, alien dudes, because he kind of looks a little
you
gay.
You guys. Setting me up for that one.
It was there. Come
it was
on.
There.
It's but to be fair, it kind of looks like the first picture that you saw of Brandon Routh when he first got announced as Superman.
Sure.
So, everybody I don't know. I'm willing to give it a chance. We won't go into the very unkind words that were said about Brandon Routh. Because
I was just thinking, everybody's like, the size of his junk is less than super. Like, those early... Those early comments are so nasty. You didn't think Simon Pegg looks fantastic?
And, oh, he does.
And Carl Urban looks terrific as Bones.
I think Eric Bana looks cool.
Yeah, Eric Bana
looks
cool. Except
he doesn't
cool.
look like a freaking Romulan at all.
Well, this is before the Romulans progressed and their
alien this is kind of like what before the Klingons got ridges?
Yeah, this is like when Yoda was a little puppet before he became a CGI creation.
Before that timeline.
Right.
Oh. Okay, I'm mostly just making fun, but I am looking forward to it. I'm hoping it's good.
Okay, well, for me, the picture sold me, and this is still the movie I'm looking forward to the most.
I'm still
year.
Not super thrilled that they changed the look of the bridge so drastically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't like the whole Apple Store look of the bridge?
Exactly.
I watching 2001 this week actually really got me pumped for Star Trek.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I love what he says in the article. Abrams says that not only is this, it's not a Star Trek movie. He's just trying to make a great movie, and he wants it to be optimistic, a movie that, you know, all these dark movies are in. He wants optimism and hope to not be like a laughable concept anymore.
And I have to say, this movie looks far and away better than anything that Brett Ratner may end up doing with Conan, just to make that little segue there, because Star Trek looks good. Conan, Brett Ratner, no.
Anton Yelchin is
And you know, Zoe Saldana looks really good too.
Yeah, she looks great, and you know, John Cho, you know, yeah, I mean, the casting isn't right, but he's a good actor. He really is a good actor. Yeah.
Are there any like other girls in the Star Trek universe?
But just the ones that Kirk hooks up with.
Well, there's Yeoman Rand, and
that's right.
So yeah, I don't know who knows what else should be in it.
And Winona Ryder's in the film too, playing Spock's mama. Yeah.
Yeah.
His baby mama.
Okay, let's talk about Conan. Ratner doing Conan. Oh, can anyone think of anything positive to say, or shall we just move on?
Well, you know,
it'll be quick. It'll be a quick film.
Oh, like 88 minutes long?
Yeah.
He's all right with visuals. He's not a director like Uwe Boll where he's incapable of creating good action sequences or big visuals. So
you need to see Postal.
There you go. So I don't know.
You're like, no, I don't.
Maybe because, you know, he's... Other than Red Dragon and The Family Man, he's not really great with actors. So maybe this will be that kind of movie. Because really,
as long as he gets Chris Tucker to play Conan,
Chris Tucker's Conan.
Sorry,
I would see that.
Yeah, no, I don't see this being good at all.
Never touch a black man's radio.
Yeah, there you go. Have you got anything else?
I do. The one cool piece of news to give support to our hope for the Green Hornet movie, People Magazine posted a picture of a recent picture from a week ago of Seth Rogen, and it is astonishing. He lost a ton of weight for this role.
Really?
He is in incredible shape, and his face looks almost a little gaunt, if I do say so myself. Everything, the way he looked in Pineapple Express and Superbad is completely gone. The guy lost so much weight. He is trimmed down. He has been running every day. The guy's really taking this deadly seriously. And from the looks of things, I'm like, you know what? He looks like a leading man.
Very
not
cool.
That he wasn't a leading man before, and I loved him as a leading man then, but now it's a different deal, and he's really...
So he's probably put the bong away?
Or maybe he's just not eating anything and just hitting nothing but the bong. He's on the bong diet. But no, like if anything, it just shows the amount of seriousness that he's taking this role. So that was very promising for me at least.
Very cool.
That's an interesting diet. And the bong diet. Get high and lose weight.
Have the people in Boulder on the bong.
No, that's true.
There you go. All right. And Josh and I both saw the Red Band Let the Right One In trailer.
Yeah.
Which Peter over / film. A lot of people have really been up about and really talking up. It looks really interesting.
And there's a screening of it in Denver next month.
Huh?
So, yeah. I forgot to say that.
Oh.
To you, I guess. I think it's towards the end of November.
Is it just like a one-night-only thing?
Or? Yeah. So I don't. So I don't know if like the director's going to be there or anything. But
do you know where it's at?
I do not.
Hmm. Okay, we'll be looking that up as soon as we go off the air.
It'd be interesting to go see. So
yes, Ethan says when I will fly out.
Do it.
We'll find out and let you know for sure.
Run over, Ethan. You can stay at Dave's house.
Last, I've got two bits of news left. One is purely geeky, just for me and for any gamers out there. Atari is releasing the Ghostbusters game in 2009.
I'm excited about that.
It's so very excited about
very
that.
Very cool.
The footage I've seen of it looks good. It looks like it's got a bunch of fun gameplay.
I just hope it's not repetitive. But even so, I think the nostalgia of it will be fun.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it's a new story, so I can't wait to see that.
That's right.
And then finally, we have the Happy Time Murders, the adult Muppet movie. Not like Meet the Feebles kind of adult. So, yeah, no, don't get thinking that way. But it is definitely a more mature take. Essentially, you know, a fairly violent murder mystery involving Muppets, which intrigues me. I'll have to at least see a trailer.
Is it going to be like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, kind of?
It's probably more like The Great Muppet Caper with a body count.
I could be okay with that.
Yeah.
I
sounds good to me.
Pay so much money to see that, yeah. All right, then. Wow. Is that all we got for news?
That's it for me.
All right, cool. Well, and let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from
oh hell no
to
oh hell yeah
in the blink of a t-shirt. And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees. And for the ladies, ooh, ringers, raglans, ladies tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly, walk tall, be irresistible to the opposite sex. Died, even we can't do all that. Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Cause that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
It's been too long since we played one of their ads.
Good stuff.
And they're fun.
Always.
So what are we talking about this week, sir?
I'm talking about Gremlins, the Gremlins films, Gremlins and Gremlins 2, the new batch.
And how did we come up with this topic?
This was your idea.
Oh, it was my idea?
We were
going
to talk about, I think, Oliver Stone movies or something. You're like, how about we do Gremlins movies? Like, yeah, Gremlins.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to go through the entire filmography of Oliver Stone in a week because I don't think I'd be able to perform coherent sentences after that.
Nobody, who has the time for that? So no, this is fun. And you know, it's about time we do a Gremlins episode. So.
And you guys are all fans. You're a fan of the movies, right?
Yes. Big although time. I have a shockingly disturbing thing to, I have to admit.
Okay.
I could have sworn I'd seen the first Gremlins. And after I watched it this week, yeah, I never have.
Oh, just really? Gremlins 2.
Yeah, I'd only seen Gremlins 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. Well, tell us what you thought of Gremlins.
I freaking loved it.
Yeah.
I brought something to you guys before the show, and I'm very curious. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. Yeah, I know. I haven't seen it. Something that I noticed is, what's the guy who plays Billy?
Zach Galligan.
If you watch it, and then you watch Spider-Man, you're going to think Tobey Maguire ripped off his performance from Galligan.
Hmm.
And it's so nerdy, the nerdy little nervous guy. So
that,
dead on.
That wide-eyed, white-bread innocence, that bland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was so much fun. I have no idea how this movie got a PG rating.
No kidding.
I loved it. It's so funny. It's very twisted.
Yes.
But I loved, you know, the blender. I loved the microwave. But when I laughed the hardest was during Snow White.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
The gremlin with the popcorn on his bags, yes, on his ears? Or he's just like, it doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't. It's such... It's such a movie that is so for kids on one hand and so not for kids on the other hand.
Yeah, I was about 8 years old when it came out. Yeah, I'm 8 years old. So I was old enough to, on one hand, not be terrified or repulsed by it, but old enough to just... It really speaks to the immature kid in all of us, I think.
It absolutely does.
I didn't relate to Billy. I wanted, you know, I love the Gremlins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really didn't scare you, even though you were 8?
No. And I think that they're funny. You know, I mean, between the scene with Snow White and, you know, the fact that Gizmo's so cute. No, I always thought I always found them very amusing and funny.
Oh.
Even like when they're like in their little holding era, and they're like, because they haven't been fed yet, you know, like that little scene. I always thought they were so funny and goofy. I never really found them all that scary.
Well,
the alien from the Aliens movies I always thought was really scary, especially the kid. But the Gremlins I always thought were really funny.
Well, and it helps that you see all the Gremlins in their Mogwai form first. Yeah. So it kind of gives you that frame of reference of, you know, oh, these are they're cute, but they're going to become bad.
Yeah.
And then sure enough.
Well, and I like how even in the first one, more so in the second one, but even the first one, they kind of have character features that you can tell when there are gremlins. That okay, I know, I remember that one. That one's Stripe. Yeah. I remember that one. You know
exactly. It's so much fun.
It's interesting. Like I was just reading an article about it, how people have interpreted it as a movie about American consumerism, American's fear of foreign automobiles and foreign materials.
Oh my gosh!
And the second film is like a real ripping apart of like America, you know, like the Donald Trump success story and the excess of the 80s. And so people like really take these movies very seriously, even though I don't think Chris Columbus had quite that in mind when he wrote them, obviously, and Joe Dante when he directed them.
Joe Dante, this is proof why I love Joe Dante movies. Yeah. This, The Burbs,
guy's the man, yeah,
absolutely.
So what was your, I mean, how do we want to talk about, do we just want to talk about like each film?
We can start that way, and start with the first one, then we can go to the second one. The first one really lays the groundwork quite well. I love how the stupid inventions never work right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously, I mean, the little like Swiss Army knife thing. What? Really? You know, with the razor blades and the toothbrush. It was just kind of funny.
The bathroom buddy? Is that
yes, about? Yes. The bathroom buddy.
I like the Peltzer juicer with the orange.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite.
Hey, it's kind of worked. Oh, crap.
I didn't know that was a, when I watched it last week, I didn't know that was a...
Corey Feldman.
Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. The same year that he did Friday the 13th Part 4. He actually stars in that. And the next year he got, you know, the leading Goonies. I mean, this was really his time.
I gotta say, I think the biggest thing for me was when I went to Universal Studios when I was little. That, you know, they shot a lot of Gremlins on the Universal soundstage.
That's right. Yeah.
But they also shot, I mean, majority of Back to the Future is that's most people think Back to the Future. When I was there, it's like, no, that's the Gremlins Tower. Like, that's his, you know, that's his school. That's where the movie theater was. And so,
one thing that I think has to be brought up is that, especially with the first movie, the use of practical effects shows that you can still do it. You don't need CGI to have convincing creatures. And these are very animated creatures, very animated. They had their own very distinctive characters. And it's something that I would rather not see as CG.
Well, I think a good thing about that is they actually have, you know, it's a puppet. So it's like, what can this puppet do? And then they design scenes around that, where CG is like, what do you want to do? What do you want to see? So it takes a realistic element out of it.
Well, and it almost seems like, I don't know why you can do this with puppets and not so much with CG, is that they definitely had a life of their own. And it's something that, you know, whenever you have something in CG, you always talk about the cold, dead eyes. And the Gremlins movies just made you connect with them. I mean, Gizmo, come on. I mean, granted, they had him extremely animated in his facial features. But still, I mean, why can you do it there? And then, like you said, you have puppet Yoda, and then you have crappy CG Yoda. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. There's something to be said for doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And this is a prime example of it, I think.
Do you think the scene in the science lab with the teachers scary at all? I find that scene horrifying.
I thought it was creepy when he took the glass beacon and started chomping. I'm like, man, he's actually eating glass. And in place you see the syringe in his hiney, so that's a little shocking. But no, like, I don't know. I think it was more suspenseful than scary. Okay. I never found it scary. I just always thought the characters were so goofy, looking with their huge ears and, you know, their, I don't know. I never, even like the first time we have a close up of him, I mean, the guy is like, you know, doing what I do. I mean, he's like, he got his face all full of cookie dough batter, and it's like, I like these guys.
What's the film that he's actually showing to his science class? The beating heart that's from something.
Oh,
I forgot. I listened to it with commentary, and they're talking about that.
Just a few. I know they show The Blob at one point, and the movie that Gizmo's watching, The Night That They Changed, that's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But now, I don't know about the heart.
The film has so many, it's the second one more so, but so many just reference things.
Oh yeah, in it. Definitely. Yeah, Joe Dante was having a field day with that. What do you guys think of Mrs. Deagle? Do you think she deserved to die, or did you feel bad for her?
Especially that way. That was so freaking funny.
You're like, yes, she deserved to die.
All of her cats are named after a flower, I think.
A form of currency.
Yes,
form of currency. Right. And I was going to see if Dave. I'm sure Dave picked up on this. One of her cat's name is Klopek. Remember the family from the
yes,
birds? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dollar bill and all that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Deutschmark and yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about Gremlins 2 real quick. The new batch. This was like they gave them speed before they started filming and said, "Go have fun." compared to the first movie, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. And that was actually one of the stipulations that Dante had, was for years they tried to work it out, like Gremlins in space, Gremlins go to camp, and they couldn't lick it, so they went to Dante. They said, okay, we'll let you do it. And Dante's like, I'll only do it if you let me do whatever the heck I want. Clearly, that's what he did.
No kidding. Yeah. Good night.
Yeah, it is an anything goes. See, I'm one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
I think it's, like, honestly one of the best sequels ever made.
Oh, I agree.
It's so underrated.
It makes fun of sequels. It's a parody of sequels in addition to itself, and viciously so.
Oh, yeah. The joke about President's Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's completely...
Oh, was it President's Day or was it Abraham Lincoln's birthday? Lincoln's birthday. Yeah. Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that I know the joke, I just about fell out of my chair.
Yeah.
Because it's just so taking a jab right at itself. Yeah. And it's beautiful.
And viciously knocking the ridiculously loopy logic of the Gremlins of the time zone and all that. Yeah, it's great.
It really becomes just a live-action Looney Tunes cartoon.
Absolutely
it's
does.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't break down the fourth wall; it obliterates it.
Yeah.
When they destroy the movie in the theater, like Ethan brought up, because I have to bring it up because there's a Hulk Hogan cameo for no apparent reason,
and it's wonderful.
It is. It's so funny.
It really worked in theaters when I was at the first time I saw it. Sure enough, people started to get up for a few seconds. Seriously, people were leaving the theater, so like, ah, and then all of a sudden the Gremlins appear, and everybody laughed because they loved being a part of the joke. It was this William Castle like gag. And what I was reading, that Dante wanted to take it even further. He wanted to have projectors and the projectionist in the booth to have little cardboard gremlins to, like, you know, to
nice.
To wave around up there for audiences. And unfortunately, Warner Brothers wouldn't pay for it or whatever. But yeah, it really was one of the great gags of the year that everybody always fell for and everybody always loved. They love being fooled like that.
And I fell for it because I had it on VHS, and they do that, but they do it with VHS.
Right.
So, like, the film gets all scratchy and stuff, and you're like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, the gremlins are in your TV.
Nice.
And they, instead of Hulk Hogan, they fight John Wayne.
Right.
They have a shootout. Really? They have a shootout with John Wayne.
Yeah, on the DVD, like, they've got that alternate take too. Yeah.
Yeah, and they show like the gremlin from one of the Bugs Bunny cartoons and a bunch of other stuff.
I was going to bring up Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. I mean, that talk about having carte blanche to do whatever you want with what's in the Warner Brothers library. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I was really happy with that.
It's great. And then John Glover's parody of Donald Trump. What's funny, though, is that because, you know, at the time the movie came out, there was a big deal about Donald Trump, you know, leaving his wife for Marla Maples. And, of course, the girl he ends up with at the end of the movie is
Marla.
Marla, yeah. Although everybody says it's a coincidence, but even Joe Dante won't fess up to that one. But,
I love Christopher Lee in it.
Yeah, oh, it's Dr. Yeah. Catheter?
Way to be subtle. The paw, the invasion of the body snatcher's paw that he carries around. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Phantom of the Opera joke in there that's completely
Phantom
random.
Of the Opera joke was
it's
great.
So hysterical.
Yes.
And the Batman joke, yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah, so the Batman funny. Joke.
And I love seeing the Futtermans again. Like, I'm so glad that they came back.
Yeah, it's completely contrived and forced that they're back, but it's so funny the way they use them, you know, because he's like a little on edge after surviving the gremlins.
Now, one thing that they made a lot of departure with, there's a lot more effects work, like the spider gremlin.
Yeah.
It didn't, I don't know, how do you guys think that came off?
It was something new, and so you could take it if you're taking the film seriously, it's cool. But even in this parodial way, it's like sequels, they always have to go bigger. They have to make, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
So I think it works on that. I liked it.
It's totally gratuitous and unnecessary.
Oh, kind of like the female gremlin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, if you don't have the female gremlin, you don't have the wonderful chemistry between her and Robert Picardo, which is so
oh my
funny.
Gosh. Yeah. It's so wrong in every way.
It opened up against Dick Tracy as counter-programming, and it actually, it's funny, nobody really talks about Dick Tracy anymore. People still talk about Gremlins 2, and it actually got better reviews, actually, Gremlins 2, actually.
Despite what Leonard Maltin said?
Maltin loved Gremlins 2, because, of course, he's immigrant.
Yeah.
He's in it. It didn't do as well as the first one for some reason. I don't know why. It only did about $40 million, whereas the first one did like $80 million U.S. and $148 million worldwide. But, the second one really didn't do all that well.
Who played the Dracula?
Robert Prosky.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in Mrs. Doubtfire. He's the guy who's going to give Williams the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, as the.
I love the fact that they dressed him up like Grandpa Munster.
Right.
Like it was specifically supposed to be a ripoff of him.
Yeah.
And I love that fact. So
and the talking in the what do you call it? The loudspeaker, all the announcements they make throughout the movie. Welcome to the men's room. And
yes.
Wash those hands. Fire. All that stuff. Yeah. So great.
Yeah. Tonight on the Clamp Network, Casablanca with a happier ending. And
in color.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, you guys have a whole bunch of trivia about these movies.
Very pessimistic.
Well, I brought 10 things about Gremlins you may not know. So hopefully for the fans who love these movies, maybe some stuff you don't know. Roald Dahl actually coined the phrase Gremlins. At least he's credited. This Roald Dahl, the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Witches, and the BFG, and all those great books. He coined the phrase, and it's from a story he wrote in 1942. They were going to make it into a Disney movie. Didn't happen, but there is a book that was published, and it's currently out of print. But I know Dark Horse Comics reprinted, I guess, in 1996. But yeah, apparently Roald Dahl is who we have to thank for Gremlins. The cult film that I've mentioned a few times on this site, Nothing Lasts Forever, which starred Zach Galligan and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. Zach Galligan actually did that before Gremlins. It was actually his work in that movie that got him the audition and the gig for Gremlins. The original script, as most people know, it was much darker. And not only did it have a decapitation of Mom, but the Gremlins actually ate the dog. And Stripe, of course, Gizmo turned into Stripe. It wasn't, all of a sudden Spielberg said, no, we need an anchor for the movie. We need somebody likable. So Gizmo became the hero, which I think was a pretty good idea. Most of you know that Howie Mandel, of course, is the voice of Gizmo. You may not know Frank Welker was the voice of Stripe. He also did the voice of the Martians in Mars Attacks. And he did the troll in Cat's Eye, which you think about it as like the same voice as the Gremlins. And, of course, you got to mention that he was the voice on Transformers of Megatron, Galvatron, and Soundwave. So
the show, right? Not the movie?
The TV show, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's show. Cool. Okay.
Very cool. And then Jerry Goldsmith, his Gremlins theme, very famous theme. It's really great. You can actually hear it 1 year earlier on the soundtrack to Twilight Zone, the movie, during the scene where John Lithgow is on the plane. If you listen, it's there. It's the Gremlins theme, yeah. I have it on LP. I listen to it all the time. The trailer for the movie, like most Spielberg films, this, of course, is a Spielberg-produced film, no Gremlins. It only hinted at it. You really barely had any glimpses of the Mogwais or the Gremlins. You guys may remember this. I remember this very well. Gremlins cereal tasted a lot like Captain Crunch.
Yes.
It's really good. Yeah, it's really delicious. Everybody knows that, of course, the violence in this movie, as well as the violence in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and other Spielberg production, led to the creation of the PG-13 rating, because everybody's like, as you said, the PG is a joke. Yeah. Of course, the first PG-13 movie being, you guys know this one? Red Dawn, the first PG-13
really?
Movie. Red Dawn. That's right, which would be like G today. How many ripoffs to date? Well, following Gremlins, you had Critters, Ghoulies, Munchies, Troll, Hobgoblins, Spookies, Beasties, and the action figure Furby. You guys remember the Furby? What a ripoff that was! Frickin' Furby.
I never even thought about that.
Yep, the Furby. And then Polly Holiday as Mrs. Deagle. She actually got her big, she's probably best known, strangely enough, for a TV show she did called Flo, in which she played this waitress called Flo. It was a spinoff of the TV show Alice, which was a spinoff of the movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Anyway.
Kiss My Grits. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There you go. I didn't know this. Apparently, we have her to thank for that pop catchphrase. She's the one, thanks to Polly Holiday, we have Kiss My Grits in addition to Mrs. Deagle's spectacular death scene.
That was a beautiful death scene.
Yes,
that
was
it was. So funny.
Yeah.
So we talked about this ever so briefly. Josh and I brought it up. How cool would it have been had Gizmo, since we all know once they're in Mogwai form, they don't change their personality when they become gremlins, if Gizmo had become a gremlin and just kicked everybody's butt?
He kind of does that in the second one, not turning
he does.
Gremlin,
yeah, he turns
with
into
the
Rambo
stuff,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I still want to see him as a gremlin.
But he would never come back, though. It would be the end of the Mogwai species.
Maybe there's like another fourth rule. That
it's like the
knows
Highlander.
About,
it's like the Highlander. There's always one more.
It's true, and I'm sure they could find some contrived way to make him come back to Gizmo. It would be like a werewolf effect kind of thing. But he's so cute, though. I mean, don't you think he'd lose his innocence? Because being a gremlin brings out the worst in you, don't you think?
Yeah,
none of those gremlins had anything, it was a civilized, no, fun, yes. I mean, it's like your evil id becomes unleashed, to use a Freudian.
I want
to see Gizmo turn.
You know, there's one thing we totally forgot to talk about with gremlins, too, and that's Tony Randall as the brain gremlin.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was so funny in that movie. He did great. He seemed like he really had a good time with the voice work.
Yes, yes. It's such a clever, and it really just shows you just how far they're willing to take the notion. It's like, let's throw out everything we know about what we do. Let's have them talk.
And the whole musical number at the end that just goes on way
They're
too long.
They're singing New York,
it's
New
spectacular.
York.
It's spectacular.
It is
fun.
So good. I love that scene. It's completely useless, but it's so much fun.
I've got to mention the ride. If you guys go to Warner Brothers Movie World in Germany, there is a Gremlins Invasion ride.
Oh my God. I never knew about that.
It's hosted by, you're not going to believe this, Alf and Gizmo. And like during the course of the ride, the gremlins take over the studio, and it's like, it's this gremlins ride where they jump out of you. During the course of the ride, you see gremlins like make fun of Warner Brothers movies, like movies you've never seen them make fun of before. Yeah, it's at Warner Brothers Movie World in Germany called the Gremlins Invasion.
See, when you bring up Alf, I think of the comic book cover that we saw.
Yes.
Sorry.
So just had to go hopefully there. Yeah. Gizmo kept his distance from the mouth. But yeah, so in addition to that, you also have, of course, the Peter Jones, the BT business ad, which we've all seen, which is brilliant. And then I got to mention, of course, again, the Gremlins fan film, Gremlins 3 Warm Up, which is Zach Galligan's pick for the best Gremlins short film ever made. It's from Sasha Feiner from Brussels. It's really incredible.
I got to say, one flaw about Gremlins 2 that doesn't hold up is a lot of the jokes, like the archery channel and the cooking channel and stuff, it's not funny anymore because we actually have that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
well, in some ways it makes it more funny because it's kind of was the precursor to itself.
It's so ridiculous. But yeah, like not long after the movie, we actually got like a fish channel where it's just a channel of like like an aquarium.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of like in Demolition Man when they joked about Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming governor.
Right.
Yep.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Strange.
Is there any, they're talking in the chat room, is there any reboot,
Gremlins sequel, anything?
Whatever.
The last, according to Gremlins Online, we all know that Warner Brothers was thinking about doing a straight-to-DVD sequel, which would be awful. Zach Galligan said officially at some signing that he did that there is talk about it being reworked, so he said yes. But apparently it would be more of a remake than an actual sequel. So at this point we can...
Do you think, I would actually, if they wait until the Muppets movie comes out, it'd be a better chance for a Gremlins sequel because they could use animatronics and not have to really rely on CG.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I hate to bring this up as a devil's advocate. It's not even so much about the animatronics looking better because we know that that's the case.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be foreseeably cheaper than making all those puppets. So that's probably one reason they'd want to go in that world. It's like, it's about the bottom dollar. It's a remake to a movie that, you know, the young audience may not remember. So that, you know, and again, I don't want this, but I'm just saying, like, that's probably what they'll do. They'll probably do it CGI because, well, it's cheaper than making hundreds of puppets like they did for Gremlins 2, which didn't make as much money as Gremlins 1, so we need to save money.
Or revert back to stop motion. I think that looks fine.
I would be down for that. Yeah. I mean, I love old school special effects. And I agree with you guys. The effects in the first two movies are fantastic. But, as good as CGI may look, it's going to lose something. It really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and wrap this topic up because we're coming up on an hour here pretty quick.
Okay.
But let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week.
Turn it up, game on! High School Musical 3, oh. Senior
what
year.
What in the hell?
Starring Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens. Yes.
Why would you do that to me?
Really? I think I'm bleeding from my ears.
And then, thought I'd give you guys a nice little pre-Halloween jolt. Edward Norton and Colin Farrell in Pride and Glory.
This look just like Righteous Kill to you?
Yes. It's been all over the release schedule. I mean, this thing has been bad. It's like the Accidental Husband. It's opening, it's not opening, it's opening, it's not opening. I thought this thing was going to open until next year. Now it's opening this week, so hey. Little something for everything in the family. For the little kids, you got The Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D. And then for the older kids, you've got Saw 5. Saw 5. Josh will
be there. That's just for Josh.
And Saw 1 through 4, Josh will be there for that too. It's a very, very happy week of course, he's skipping my class to watch Saw 1.
I'll turn in a report or something if you want me to.
but you're gonna miss my lecture about the Twilight Zone trial and
oh, you're showing that. Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm missing Twilight Zone.
Missing Twilight Zone.
Have you seen it? Okay, so you need to borrow that too.
It's one of the most fun,
especially if the Gremlins theme is in there.
It's in there. Clint Eastwood's new film, critically acclaimed Changeling, starring Angelina Jolie in limited release, and then finally Let the Right One In limited release.
Ooh. Is Nightmare coming to Colorado? Do you know? Because I do want to.
I'm sure
it.
It's playing at the cinema.
Presumably
Cinemark.
So.
Okay. Because I still haven't caught it in 3D.
Every October, it's there in 3D.
And we've got three different theaters in town that do DLP digital. So that's pretty much a prerequisite to the Disney 3D. So you should be able to see it pretty easily.
And as you said, Dave, it's like the 3D is really great and it fleshes out the details, but it's not like the ultimate 3D movie. The movie was not meant for 3D. It's got some really nice effects, and really, if anything, you just get a really great glimpse at all the detail, the incredible, intricate detail of the movie, but it really isn't the best 3D movie, really.
It isn't, but it's still, it is like you're watching a stage production of it, and I'm pulling up something so I don't forget. Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry. I just had to, I spaced something in our notes, so okay. Yeah, I it's well worth seeing in the theater if you're a big Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare Before
3D.
Christmas fan. Yeah. Wow. No, Nightmare Before Christmas is well worth seeing in 3D if you're a big fan of it.
Definitely.
It won't give you quite the headache that some 3D movies do.
Yeah, very well done.
So what's coming up on DVD, sir?
Kit Kittredge, An American Girl. It's the only way I could say that movie's title. Starring Abigail Breslin of Nim's Island Infamy. And then one of the surprise hits of the summer, Brendan Fraser in Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D. Although I don't know if it's going to be in 3D.
It is going to have 3D glasses, like four sets.
Like, but the cool 3D glasses or like the
flimsy?
I have no idea. It says that there's going to be the 2D version of the movie and the 3D version, and it's going to come with four sets of glasses.
I shouldn't be admitting to this, but I did see the Hannah Montana concert movie on DVD, and it came with the glasses. And the glasses had, you know, it was with, you know, the red and the blue visors.
Oh.
And after 2 minutes, I'm like, screw this. So we just watched it as is.
Okay.
About that film, I will say that, you know, you had U2, you had Hannah Montana, and the other one, and Shine a Light, the Rolling Stones movie. Three very, very different concert movies, all of them
great. I can imagine so.
They're all very good, though, all very well produced. I mean, like, the stuff that they had backstage for, like, Hannah Montana making the concert, it really was as engaging as all the stuff like the Rolling Stones. I mean, it, you know, again, very, very different movies, but very well done for what they are.
I don't even know what to say. Wow, that, wow. Okay.
I didn't know you were going to let that drop. You told me that in the car, and I just didn't say anything.
Like, Josh, what do we do? Don't tell anybody.
Wow. Okay, well, shall we move on to our mail for the week? Because we got a crapload of mail.
Yeah, yeah.
We have four pieces. I decided not to play Jabba's from over at GRD, just because it really wasn't so much a voicemail. He was going to say something and forgot what it was, so it's all good. He'll call back. Maybe we'll play it at a future episode.
Thanks
or something.
Anyway, Jabba.
Yes, but let's start off with our print mail, since we only have one of those. This comes from Emily. It says, just really got to say I started listening to your show and I really enjoy it. I keep hearing your promo on Geek Radio Daily and decided I'd give it a shot. Keep up the great work. All I really had to say is that I hated the third Harry Potter film, and as a Harry Potter fan, I'm not even going to go into why, unless you really need to see a very long essay about every single reason why it's weak.
I do.
Do you?
No, I don't.
See, I'm really, thank you so much, Emily, for sending this in, because it really proves my point that the fans who've read the books do not like Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, they really don't.
Which is what we said last week.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's nice to have the further proof, though.
Yeah,
oh, and A Brave New World, great book, but the movie sucks.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I'm
never seen the movie, but I've read the book. Great book.
Yeah, I love the book very much. So, I guess we'll go into our voicemail. We've got three of them. Wow. Let me see here. Oh, first one. It's from our good friend, Valencia.
Hi, this is Valencia. I was just calling to let y'all know that I really enjoyed the live show, and I will be back to participate on Sunday. And y'all need to keep doing it, because I really enjoy actually seeing y'all. And I wanted to let you know that my favorite episode so far is episode 50 and 51. That's all. Bye.
Thank you so much, Valencia. Hopefully we didn't embarrass you too much by playing it while you're listening to the show. But yeah, I'm glad we've gotten a lot of good response about last week's episode, because I felt like a fish out of water.
Likewise.
Adding a little web camera makes me go like, oh, I'm going to suck.
Yeah, I agree. Episode 50, I think, is one of the best we ever did. But yeah, 51, I was just like, ugh, can we do that over again, please?
I'm wearing my Freddy shirt right now. But
since the resolution's so low on the camera, I'm bad on the camera.
It's like, yeah. Aw.
Maybe we'll take a picture and post it or something.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Valencia.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next up is a voicemail from Billy Flynn over at Geek Radio Daily. And I have to say, just as a quick disclaimer, the opinions of our listeners aren't always our opinions. And we're never going to edit a guest or anybody for content. So it'll be very obvious why I say that here shortly.
Hello, gentlemen. It is the long lost, forgotten me. Sorry, crazy project at the day job that's just kept me behind on stuff, blah, 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 blah. So yes, I've just caught up on all the episodes, so let me go back very quickly to episode 50 in The Origin of Screen Geeks. For me, it was the episode in which you debated HD DVD versus Blu-ray. That was the first one that I ever found, and I was like, huh, well, they're not really talking about movies, but some of this stuff is really, you guys obviously sound like you knew what you were talking about. So I went back and like listened to other episodes, and I was like, wow, these guys talk about movies, they like movies, in like the same way that I do. They just like love film. That's fantastic. So of course, you know, I followed you guys where you went to firstshowing.net, and then when you came back, we don't really need to talk about that, other than to say that, let's be honest, I listened to the show because of Dave and of Barry.
And now I'm Josh, blushing.
Let me say something to you here now, dude. I love the fact that you're in there. Because, and this is the only sort of negative thing I'm going to say, unlike Alex from First Showing, while you do not have the knowledge and history of film that Dave, and especially Barry, has, you do have a love for film. And the fact that you want to know more about film and that you actually go back and watch these things, I think speaks volumes for why I like listening to you more than other people. So that being said, I love your guys' show. Seriously. There are very few movie podcasts I listen to, you and Movies You Should See. I don't really listen to anybody else with movies because everyone talks about movies. You guys talk movies, and I like it. Whether, and like you say in your wonderfully funny promo, whether we agree on movies or not, you know, we can always have a civil discussion about it simply because film brings people together, and that's wonderful. So again, I'd like to thank you gentlemen for the fantastic job that you do, because I certainly appreciate it, even if, Dave, you are just way too harsh on a Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Wow, Trey Parker and Matt Stone didn't like that at all, did they? I digress. Let's go to the most recent episode very quickly with books. Books that are better movies than they were books. Quickly, William Peter Blatty's Legion, which became the film Exorcist III. Exorcist III, saw that in the theater, and it was an amazing experience. It loses a little something on the small screen, but the tension that was built in that movie is amazing, and the story is so much better than the book. Now, here's the one. You ready? Jaws. Jaws as a book is boring. My God, is it boring. It's not even about the shark. It's about how these shark attacks affect the economic stability of this town, which you get a little bit of in the movie, but wow, yeah, not a good book. The whole subplot with Matt Hooper and Mrs. Brody, so not needed from the story at all. Crazy. Crazy how that works. They're few and far between, but sometimes you have movies that are better than books. And then in the case with, like, Rosemary's Baby, you have a movie which basically is the book. So that's very strange. Incredibly strange. There was something else that I wanted to decide. There's something that Barry said in this last episode, but was it? There's a movie that he likes, and then both of you were like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, yes, dude, I love that movie. And I can't think of the name of it right now. So I'm rambling, and I'm also, you know, killing time so I don't have to go back and finish my stupid, crazy project at my day job. But I guess I probably should. So, guys, you keep making the shows, and I'm going to keep listening because you're damn good at what you do. You're doggone it. People like you. Later, guys.
Thank you much. Mr. Flynn.
Thanks, Billy.
You know, I will say you should definitely check out the Slash Filmcast, and I don't say that just because Dave Chen was in our chat room a minute ago, but it is a really good show, and it's well worth listening to as well. But thank you much, sir. Shall we address the movies? The sure. Jaws thing? I know you had a little bit of a different opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about Exorcist 3. I mean, I think that's honestly my list of this one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. In fact, I know no one agrees with me on this, but it's my favorite of the Exorcist films. As far as Jaws goes, I actually read the book and watched the movie back to back, and I thought the two really complemented each other well. Obviously, you know, you've got all this backstory that you don't have in the film, but I thought the death of Quint, spoiler for this movie that's ancient, but the death of Quint, I thought it was just as shocking on the written page, if not more so than it was in the film. But yeah, I love both of them. I thought the book was fantastic.
I have some history of film knowledge. I got a 96 on my midterm.
That's right. Damn straight he did.
And there you go. Cool. All right, we have one more voicemail. And this one is from our good friend Brad.
Hey, Screen Geeks. This is Brad from Nebraska with the Horror Fest. I thought I'd leave you a little voicemail and just got done watching Resident Evil Extinction for my geek for the week. And I can understand why you guys don't like Paul with Script Anderson. The sad part is, I guess if you guys haven't announced it on your news already, that there will be a Resident Evil 4. I guess what Script Anderson is going to write the fourth movie. But he might have assured us that he will not probably be directing it because he'll be doing something else. So that might be encouraging, but at the same point, it takes a script to make a good movie. So, oh well, we'll see what happens. Maybe they go into a direction like the later Resident Evil games are. So, anyway, since we're on the small topic of zombie movies, like Resident Evil, if you want to call it one, I guess, since Halloween's coming, I wanted to see what you guys well, at least what this time of year is for Halloween and what your favorite horror movies are. And especially on this end, what's your favorite zombie movie? For mine, original, George Romero, Dawn of the Dead. And also, we can't pass up Dan O'Bannon's Return of the Living Dead as well. So take her easy, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Brad, over at Horror Fest. And we're actually going to hang out next year, dang it, because like, I saw him once for about 5 seconds this past year. And but
he's from Nebraska, so I have a lot to talk about with him.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, let's start off with favorite zombie movie.
Original George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. I think it's just a perfect horror film. Perfect. I don't think it's ever been topped.
I'm going to agree. I watched it for the first time last year, and I was like so surprised on not only how it still holds up, but just how really scary it is.
Yeah, the little girl in the basement at the end, that's the stuff of nightmares.
And it's so politically driven, but it's not. It's great.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's what I was going to say, Night of the Living Dead as well. Although, let's go into favorite horror movies in general.
Gosh, that's tough.
I'd have to go with John Carpenter's The Thing, and then the original Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Nice, man.
And then for fun, on the fun side, so you have to have like the scary horror and the funny horror. The fun stuff, I'd go Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein and Monster House.
Monster House is freaking awesome.
I love Monster House. Yes.
Excellent.
Good.
Scariest movie I've ever seen, Tale of Two Sisters, the Korean horror film. Still the scariest thing I've ever seen. Favorite vampire movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Favorite wolf movie would be American Werewolf in London, although Mike Nichols' wolf is really close up there for me. Who knows how Wolfman's going to be. What else?
The Howling 2?
The Howling 2. I've never seen that. It's called The Howling 2, Your Mother's a Werewolf. That's the subtitle of the movie. I've never seen it. Though Christopher Lee's in it. Psycho, the original Psycho. And for that matter, Kubrick's The Shining is pretty perfect, too.
Absolutely. It depends on what kind of movie you want to watch for Halloween. If you want to watch something that's just kind of an eerie movie and a good mystery, just about any Hitchcock's going to do you.
Yeah.
So.
Favorite horror film of all time is Hellraiser. Still Hellraiser.
Wow, man.
So.
It's hardcore.
Yes, it is. I take very, very proud of that.
No, you said the most frightening movie. See, for me, it was almost The Happening.
Mm.
Just because of how bad it was. Sorry.
Okay. Truly.
I gotta say, The Ring still scares the crap out of me. I can't watch that movie alone.
That was a very well done PG-13 horror movie. It's a great movie, and I hate it at the same time because it brought all the crappy ones as well.
It's very intense the whole way through.
Oh yeah,
it's very like it has this like oppressive mood to it. It's like it's so heavy handed. It's almost funny. But I remember that's the one movie I took Julia to, my wife, and I remember the whole movie. She's just grabbing onto my shoulder. And when that little girl crawls out of the TV, that's one of the scariest, surprising things I've seen.
Is there any like movie that you guys actually watch only like wait to watch on Halloween or do you usually watch around the time of Halloween?
Yeah, Carpenter's Halloween, Halloween 3, because I think it's such a festive horror film. Remember the first horror movie I ever watched by myself, like when it was Halloween, my mom, my brother went to some Halloween function. I was home alone, so I ended up watching Nightmare on Elm Street 5. And I was disappointed how not scary that was.
Should have done what I did, which was stupid, and watch Event Horizon alone in the dark.
Oh, man, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
that I could barely stupid. Watch it with the lights on.
Yeah.
That movie was so scary.
Yeah. And all right, and I just realized there's a movie you saw this week that you didn't talk about, Psycho 2.
Oh, Psycho 2. Yeah, it was good, better than what it should be. But I just didn't really want to watch the other ones from it. But it was really good. So surprisingly good.
I thought it was the best of the sequels, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. How could you forget?
Oh, I know Hocus Pocus. I'm sorry.
Hocus Pocus.
Is that really a horror movie? Though?
Movie that won't go away. Movie? Hocus Pocus. Do you own that?
I have it on VHS. Do you want to borrow it?
Yes, I want to borrow your copy. I need to see it. It keeps coming up. It just won't go away.
I bought the DVD of Hocus Pocus yet. But.
Well, there's nothing to buy. There's no extras, nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really lame. But I'd like to borrow your VHS copy.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Well, and if you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can give us an email over at podcast, Barry, Ethan, Josh, or Dave at screengeeks.com. You can also give us a voicemail if I can get to the number real quick. It is 719-387-1804.
Twitter.
Our Twitter page, we're Screen Geeks, if you want to catch all of us. Mine is Dexter Douglas as one word.
And I'm Stuntman Josh as one word.
And we're working on getting Barry on. We'll get him there eventually.
Eventually.
And this show sucked less than the last one.
I agree.
Yippee Skippy. Yay.
Yay, we suck less.
Catch up on your saw this week.
Yeah, I guess we have to.
You guys have to.
Next week, what's our topic for next week, Barry?
We Screen Geeks saw the Saw movies.
So it'll be them versus me, I have a feeling.
We'll just see.
But
okay. Until then, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.
rubbish. We should be listening to Thermion melodies, kicking tunes, thumping bass. God, I sound so stupid.